Hi again, folks, and welcome back at long last to NTI's Japan Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Ziv Nakajima again. Great to have you with us today. And to our regular listeners, thank you for your patience. I know it's been quite a while since our last episode was published, and that's entirely my fault. I was having way too much fun in Thailand on my annual holiday excursion. And then, of course, coming back, I've been crazy busy catching up on anything that couldn't be handled remotely while I was away. But we're now back with a vengeance and excited to be talking shop with you again about all things related to the world's second biggest property investment market and a very exciting property market overall here in Japan. So quick update before we jump right in on the hotel deal that we've been discussing in the last couple of episodes. We've now got two investors who have picked up the gauntlet and will be paying for the research trip and other off-site research efforts by Pacific Business KK, our designated resort operator. And now we hope that this research trip will take place over the next couple of weeks. And those two investors will then, of course, have first access to the research results, as well as first right of refusal on the deal itself. Once they've decided, and if for any reason they end up not moving forward with the purchase, we'll then open the application process again to new investors. So if you'd like to register your interest and haven't done so yet, now's a good time. We'll keep you posted with progress as we go along. Okay, so for today's episode, this is a recording of a conversation that we've had this week with a buyer from the US who's been reading and listening to some of the information that we've been putting out regarding holiday properties that could also be rented out by the month when they're not being used. So we've discussed these types of deals in principle, and then we've also put out a deal analysis article of a sample holiday slash monthly rental property that we've recently facilitated on behalf of a client. And we will turn that article into a podcast episode in the near future as well, maybe even from next week if I can make it. So in this recording today that you're about to hear, we're going to talk locations, management, costs, and selection criteria. So really all of the things that go into the purchase of a holiday property that can also hopefully cover its own maintenance costs and hopefully also generate some reasonable income along the way. We're going to chat about the difference between straight out resort properties and standard properties that can be converted into a monthly stay property. As far as monthly costs and facilities go, etc., there's obviously a difference there. And towards the end of the conversation, we also look under the hood a bit and talk about our own service here at NTI, what we can do for potential buyers and investors and how it all works. So should be good listening. Hope you enjoy.
We were looking to spend under $100,000 in various areas. I originally was thinking, you know, Atami would be great because it's 40 minutes by Shinkansen from Tokyo, and it has a great, you know, set of onsens, and actually the nature and the views were quite nice. And the town, although during the holidays it's very busy, I would assume when it's not a holiday, it's kind of not that busy. So that's kind of what attracted me to Atami. My wife actually spent a significant amount of time in Kyushu, so she loves Fukuoka. Yep. And Kumamoto, and what else you like there? You like all the area.
Yeah, I think the major cities would be the Fukuoka, and Kumamoto is good too, but
you prefer Fukuoka.
I wouldn't really call it a major city, though. I get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the problem that I would have with Fukuoka is that it's significantly away from Tokyo, and it would be hard every time we come to Japan. We probably won't even be able to spend time in Tokyo. We would just have to go to Fukuoka. You know, I saw tickets from Shanghai or Beijing and go directly to Fukuoka. So it's like 2 hours. By plane, but also because we have two kids, it would be four of us. We would be spending an additional like Hachimanen every time just to get from Tokyo to Fukuoka. But if there's an attractive deal, then we can certainly consider it. I don't know if you specialize in a Atami area. I looked at some of the availability on your website, and I heard some of your podcasts. They're very informative, so thank you very much for putting them out.
No, thank you for that.
But it seems like you have some specialization in various areas, and your recommendation about Sapporo, about Fukuoka, some availability in Tokyo and Osaka. I didn't hear much about Atami.
Not really. I mean, the specifics that we delve into in the podcast and in the stuff that you see on the website is really geared towards investors. So when we're talking about investment, yes, Satami is obviously not a really investment hotspot, and so are some of the other places. So the stuff that you see on the website is usually just aimed towards the most common denominator, which is usually people looking for high yield investments. And for that purpose, we wouldn't specifically showcase any deals in more recreational areas. But we do help people get ski properties up in Niigata near the slopes or near some of the onsens. We've helped people get some land parcels that they've later built on in other places. And Itoshima as well. I mean, obviously, the article that you were referring to, and we had a podcast episode about that as well. Itoshima specifically is not really an investment destination in the sense that you won't probably aim for Itoshima or Atami, for that matter, if you're looking for long-term leases. So again, I wouldn't purchase a property in those places if the purpose is to have it constantly occupied. But if you're looking for what you are looking for, which is basically a holiday property, which can also generate some income on monthly rentals, then any place you're interested in is probably attractive for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, okay. if you're going there for holiday, then other people are doing the same, hopefully all throughout the year. I mean, unless it's a ski property, it would be all throughout the year. Mm-hmm. And for that purpose, yeah, Atami definitely qualifies.
All right. Okay, so that's good. Now, the reason we actually even considering this is because it seems like there is some, and especially you know, in your podcast, and we saw your seminar on YouTube, and we heard from your partner companies that there is a certain infrastructure available in Japan to help with kind of remote management of this kind of investment or this kind of a remote holiday home, and that would be the one of the other primary reasons we would go for it, because if it involves us taking care of things, then we certainly would not be doing this because there's too much to take care of in US, so just we can't afford to spend time on managing property halfway around the world.
No, understood. That's so, most of our clients. That's normal.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so then if there's this kind of availability, if you can manage this, if you can, you said you kind of deal with the management companies in condo buildings, if they give you trouble about monthly rentals, you probably have experience on how to deal with it, what to say. So that's kind of what we're looking for in terms of your experience.
Yeah, so this is what we do basically. We're a single point of contact, if you will, for people who are either too busy or just not present physically to, or just don't have the language skills to manage things on their own. So the building management is not something that we have anything that we can replace or anything of that sort, but we do certainly deal with them if they've got reservations about anything that you're doing with the apartment. And the property managers, so the people who are actually advertising and placing those guests or tenants in the properties, well, they're easily replaceable. So if we start working with one of them and we see that we're not getting the results that we want, we can definitely change over to another company. Depending on location, so places like Itoshima or Kumamoto have relatively a lot of companies that we can work with. Atami we haven't actually delved into yet, so I can't tell you how many monthly rental properties are active in that area. So that'll be the first part of the research, I would assume.
Go ahead. So we've done some research. Sorry, I just wanted to just bring up some information that we researched in Atami. And there appears to be a huge amount of resort mansions available, which the buildings that have, you know, onsens on site. And there's availability in buildings which are built from 78 to 91. We're not really looking for a really new place, but we are looking for something that would be a bit on a larger side than usual, would be about 50 square meters, let's say.
Okay, but if you're saying resort management, that those are places that come with quite hefty monthly fees, right?
Yeah, so we couldn't find anything below like 25,000 yen per month, which we consider to be a little bit too much. We're really looking something below 20,000 and hopefully closer to 10,000 yen.
Well, the question is, if do you need the facilities on
no.
site, or are you comfortable
no,
just walking
we do
to
not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not, because we know we stepped out of the building and there's an onsen 5 to 10 minutes away.
Exactly.
Either by bus or even by walk. So that's absolutely not necessary. However, when we do that, we spend like a couple of days going through different sites in Japanese, and all of this, all we saw was resort mansions. We haven't seen any just regular, you know, unit for sale. So it's probably our fault. Somehow we're just missing it, but maybe you would be a person to talk to find something in that space.
So the websites that you were checking for these types of properties, were they your normal MLS multi-listing websites that you look for any real estate property, or were they resort-specific?
This is the first time we're looking to buy in Japan, so we would assume that we're looking at rent regular, because our search was for buying condo in, what did you say, mansion, buying mansion in Atami. That's what we searched in Japanese.
Yep.
So somehow we probably missed it somehow, but we all only got resort mansions.
Okay, well, quickly looking at Atami, we're talking about a population of 37,000. But it does look, I mean, it does look like a city. I wouldn't call it strictly an onsen place. So I think there should be some, maybe not as many as in other places, but there definitely should be some normal buildings out there. Again, that's the sort of research that we'll have to do. So we'll have to see if there's properties available that are not resort properties in that area, and we'll have to see if there are companies out there that... I'd hope for at least two or three companies, just so that we can change them over if they're not doing very well, that can serve you. And then based on what we find there, we can decide if you want to proceed looking in Atami or if you want to look at other places.
Do you want to, so because you have this deep expertise in Fukuoka market, if you don't mind sending us something together with Atami, if you're sending us Fukuoka as well, so we can compare the two and maybe make decision that way. I don't know if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's fine. But Fukuoka City specifically is not going to be walking distance to an onsen. That's a city. If you want walking distance to an onsen, I'd probably advise Beppu or Kumamoto if you're talking about Kyushu.
No, I don't think that it's a, you know, it's necessary to have a walking distance to distance to onsen.
That's probably where we disagree. I the whole point is like that. But anyway.
Fukuoka is a great city, but it's a metropolitan center. It's not exactly a resort town.
Yeah, you mentioned it's 1.6 million people. It's
no, 1.5. Like, 1.5 million.
1.5. Okay.
Yeah.
That's for you guys to decide. We can definitely send you samples from all. Just give us a list of places, and we'll send you samples. We'll point out the advantages and disadvantages of each, and you can have a chat at home and decide.
Okay. So I guess the parameters would be somewhere like under $100,000, but we saw like a lot of properties in $50,000 to $60,000 range. So that's, I mean, we don't necessarily have to spend the whole $100,000.
For 50 square meters, though, that might be difficult. We'll have a quick peek, maybe in Atami, but I'm definitely not in Kyushu that I've seen, but we'll definitely look into that.
Sure. And also, so it doesn't have to be a new place. It would be preferable that place was renovated at some point, so it's not very traditional, Japanese property from the 70s or 80s, it's a little bit, have wooden floors and kind of, maybe kitchen is in a bit better shape. But again, this is all, depends on other factors like location and the price.
Yeah.
So
it's always going to be a bit of a trade-off. So the size versus the age of the building versus the location will determine the price.
Right. Yeah. So I guess, between, 78 and 91 or something like that. That's where majority of properties we saw, at least in our price range.
Yeah.
With the fee, maintenance fee below hopefully 20,000 yen and even better, the lower the better. The distance from the train station should be like under 20 minutes, I guess. Just because we probably not gonna get a car every time we come to Japan.
Well, if you want to rent it out monthly, I'd say stick to 10 minutes from a station.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's fine with us as well. Yeah, 10 minutes would be better. And what else are we missing? I think that's about it. I know it's extremely hard to get any kind of property where you can do like Airbnb.
Not in a co-owned building. Only if you own the entire structure.
Yep. So then that's not going to be part of the equation. And then I guess what we'd like to know is, what do you think would be the monthly costs going forward, not in terms of, the maintenance, but in terms of your cost, in terms of management costs, all costs put together, so that we can understand what would be the annual expenses to upkeep the property.
Okay, so I'll give you a brief on costs now, and then I'll send you an email with more details so you'll have it written down. Basically, so the building fees are the building fees, and that changes drastically between buildings depending on how new and how well maintained they are. So that could be anywhere between 5,000 to, like you said, your max would be 20,000.
Yes.
The property management component for the property manager, for the person who actually finds and places the tenants and checks them in and checks them out, is usually between 20 to 30% of the gross rental income.
Compared to US, that's 2 to 3 times more.
For the monthly, I mean, if you're doing a long-term lease, which means that they don't have a lot to do, and then they charge something like 4 to 6%. But if you're talking about monthly...
Oh, I see the difference. Okay.
But if you're talking about monthly, which means they need to advertise, they need to check people in and out, collect deposits, organize cleaning, etc., then they charge 20 to 30%. And our fee is usually, well, depending on the price of the property, from what you're describing, it's probably going to be 2% of the gross rental income. And then there's a tax component added to whatever service you're getting.
Every service we get is a tax component, tax component, right? Okay.
So when I say 3%, 20%, 30%, you need to add 8% to the bottom line.
Yep. And what do you think... it's possible with these on a high level to make up for the cost of the apartment with the rental income?
Well, we're going to, once we decide on a location, we're going to ask the monthly rental companies if they would have some criteria, because they know their market best. So if they tell us, well, if you buy anything under 1982 or 1985 or anything that's... more than 5 minutes from a station, then we're not going to get enough guests. They wouldn't take on management if they think that's not easily occupiable. So usually we go off what they tell us, and then we make recommendations to you, and then you can tweak it as you see fit.
Sure.
So we'll hopefully have all of that information before we actually go ahead and commit to any property.
Sure, understood. And just based on your experience, if Atami is a new market for you, when you started up in your current market in Fukuoka and some others where you have experience, when you were just first building a relationship with some of the management companies, you certainly experienced some, ups and downs. Going into Atami, building up new relationship, how much of an issue do you think it's going to be? Maybe there's going to be a management company you find and it turns out that they're not really that good and we'll have to change them. It's going to cause all kinds of issues. Do you think that building this whole thing in Atami just because of this one property is going to be kind of a hassle for you?
Well, it's not really something that's limited to when we start in any particular location. I mean, some of our biggest markets for investment have been Fukuoka, Sapporo, and Kumamoto. And aside from Kumamoto, where we've been very lucky with the property manager, we've always had at least once or twice a year to change someone over. I mean, companies grow, certain staff members are better than others, company just, suddenly doesn't like to handle the smaller scale that they were handling. They want to only aim for bigger customers, so their service level drops. I mean, that's something that we have to do whether we're starting out in a location or we've been there for a while. So not a huge difference from our perspective.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah. So I'll forward the answers to those questions that we've discussed now to you via email, and I'll also walk you, or Preeti can walk you through the engagement process. And once we get that out of the way, we can start researching on your behalf.
Sure, absolutely. That sounds great, Ziv. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Any other questions for this one, or are we carrying on by email?
No, I mean, Preeti, when you said Preeti's going to walk us through engagement process, is it another Skype call, or how are we going to handle that?
Those are two forms that you need to have signs and witness to allow us to represent you here and make inquiries and submit offers, etc. on your behalf.
Okay.
And then
witness, meaning notarized? Do you need notarized forms?
Well, any sort of official witness with an official-looking stamp or seal, something that looks like a hanko, which is what the Japanese like to see.
I think in US it's not notarized. Yeah, there will be a stamp if we notarize the form. Yes, okay.
Yeah. Oh, if it's a notary, it'll definitely be fine. But, I mean, if a notary is too expensive, then sometimes, a lawyer or an accountant will do, as long as they've got the registration ID on their seal.
Okay. No, it's not too expensive. It's just there's I don't think there's anybody else who does it,
okay.
at least that I know of, so notary would have to be hanko. Wait, in US.
Yeah, I have hanko.
You cannot have your own hanko. It has to be witnessed. It has
okay.
to be witnessed. Okay. Yeah, no in the sense.
Yeah.
If I
and
know
the other thing is then we'll need our fee estimate paid in advance, and that's based on your budget. And then post-settlement, obviously the price is not going to be exactly what you estimated, so we're going to credit or debit you based on the actual purchase price.
When you say in advance, is in advance of the deal or in advance like when we start the search process?
In advance of the research. I mean, we can put in an hour or 2 hours of research just to give you a rough idea of what's available. But once you want us to do due diligence on a particular property and start
okay.
contacting management companies, then we need our fee estimate paid.
Got it. And when can would you be able to provide that estimate to us?
Well, I can tell it to you now. If it's based on your purchase budget of 100,000, then that's... 4% of that plus tax.
So it's 4,000 plus tax, which is...
4 plus 8%.
Okay. Yeah, okay, it's...
That's 4,320.
And do you accept... is that in US dollars? Or how do we... Is it yen? Or do we need to get to our Japanese account? Or we can...
We've got an account with OFX, who are our Forex provider that we've been using for a good few years. They've got excellent rates. I'd probably advise that you set up your own account with them, because then if you set up an account for our referral link, we'll both end up getting better rates as you remit more funds across. But otherwise, I mean, for your first transaction, we can definitely just book it through our corporate account, and then they'll give you an account to transmit US dollars to, and then we receive it on the other end in yen.
Okay, so we can do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, I heard in your podcast as well that you have a partner where they do investment fund, where you actually own a property, and then you get rights to use the property once a year. That sounds kind of similar to what we're discussing. Is that something that you would consider as well for this type of deal, or that's kind of different?
That's a little bit of a different setup. So what they are, they're a Hong Kong-based company that have a Japanese boutique hospitality fund. So you can invest, I think they start, the entry level I think is 50,000 US. And for that, you get a percentage of whatever the fund generates in income, and you also get annual usage rights. But whether that's a month or a week, I'm not too sure. And then you're staying in a resort in one of the properties that they've got in their portfolio. They're very nice properties, though, very luxurious. I think much better than anything that we'd be able to get you for $100,000. But that's a full-on hotel or yokan stay. And it's a fund structure, and so that means that you don't actually have, you're not actually owning a property, you're owning a share in a fund.
I don't think that's going to work for us, because we would like to actually send kids to school if possible.
Yeah, so that's not
that
really
going
to satisfy that. I mean, it's sometimes they've got syndication options as opposed to a fund, in which case you will be owning a share of the property. But as far as usage rights go, I'm not sure how many days a year you can actually use. I can put you in touch with them, and you can get more info from them if you'd like.
Yeah, it'll be helpful just for us to take a look at this as well. It sounds like an interesting choice. Certainly not very usual, for at least from my experience, but something to consider.
Okay. Well, I mean, if we end up finding you something for $50,000, you could do both. We'll see how we go.
We'll do two. Yeah, sure. Sounds
right.
Good, Ziv.
All right.
Good.
I'll send some info
right.
your way, and we'll take it from there. Okay, so there you have it. Hopefully what we discussed here has also answered some of your own questions, if you had any, about what's achievable here in Japan as far as holiday properties are concerned. As far as remittance overseas go, we've mentioned OFX in this conversation again. Really, they're the best way for any of you who want to remit funds overseas, and not necessarily to or from Japan, but just really from any currency to another and anywhere around the world. So we're going to link to OFX's website in this episode's show notes as well. And if you're signing up with them, just make sure you do it through that partner referral link in the show notes, as that'll give us both better rates and less fees over time as your remittances grow in volume. We welcome any other questions you may have, of course, and you can email them directly to us or message us on whichever channel you might have found this podcast, or just even in the comment section of the podcast on social media, etc. And we would really appreciate it if you could share this episode or the podcast itself with your own networks, if you think they may find this content brings any value to them at all. And lastly, we would really appreciate it if you could take a moment of your time and leave us a rating, or even better, a few short words of review, perhaps, on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're tuning in from. This just helps us reach even more people who can hopefully benefit from this content as well. Hope to have you with us next time, which will be far less of a wait, promise. And until then, from all of us here at NTI, we wish you, as always, happy investing.